Solemn.
This is interesting letter. Mikaev lev ani koisev michtovizeh. I'm writing this letter very, very heartbroken, very upset. Hamachshava al desecho hi omno machivas levo. Thinking about you really, really hurts my heart. Ki nidmelecha, you think ki amivakshim shkidoscha b'teira hein kivakshim roscha t'chila. You seem to feel that whoever wants you to learn is out to get you. In other words, they're pushing you to learn is something which is against you. And what you think is good is to spend time doing nothing. You don't seem to care that you're destined to become an Amoritz. And you don't care much about how upset your parents are. Very, very strong. I mean, very strong letter from the Chazanish. I think they were all written to somebody named Rafal Halpern, who just passed away. A very fascinating person. Rafal Halpern's father was one of the people who founded Bnei Brak. He invested a lot of money in Bnei Brak, built a lot of institutions, was really, really an extremely big tzedakah giver. His son Rafal was brilliant, wild, to put it mildly, all over the place. Most of these letters were written to him, he eventually became Frei. He became a world-class wrestler and martial arts champion. Did tshuva at some point later in his life and became a very from Yid. He sat and learned a lot. He ran a whole bunch of businesses very successfully. And he just passed away, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. He himself was a big Baltzaka. What we have from him in Sfarim wise, quote unquote, is 4 volumes on Rashi. If you'll take a look in the other library, like 4 volumes on Rashi, history, way he brings, how many times Rashi quotes somebody, like all the information sort of catalog. He also wrote, if you'll see, there's a brown 12-volume set on every Rav and Gadol and Kol Yisrael that we have any record of, when he lived, who he lived, who his rabbis were, and so on and so forth. And he also wrote a Frum encyclopedia for Haredi people about everything. It's called Encyclopedia of Eretz Yisrael in Hebrew. It translated in English. Those are amongst the things that I know of. But he was a definitely colorful personality. So I think a lot of his letters were written to him. But Omnam, he says, it's not easy to sit down and apply yourself. It's that initial sitting down that's hard. If I can give a muscle fit, it's like when you start a car, getting the car to move takes a lot of energy. Once the car is moving, it takes a lot less energy. And if a person decides, yes, I'm learning, they all fall away. And there is no pleasure in the world like sitting and learning. Uma Adabi says, what can I tell you? Your ears are stuffed, and you don't seem to care much. Whoa, onto the precious time that you're losing with your own hands. You're destroying time that's worth a lot. And woe unto the midas tovos that you are so nonchalantly destroying. I just heard, you were supposed to have a seder with somebody that we made up, and you're not keeping the seder. And you're causing him tzar. Instead of he's doing so much to make sure that they're doing right, and you're causing a lot of anguish. Because of your foolishness, you'd rather just sort of fool around, do some mischievous stuff. Haloitede says, understand, ki me'emek ava, from the depths of love, u'mehamoyas achemla, and from an awakening of rachmim, ani mis'amitz alav yitoychochos negativi. I speak to you very sharply. It's not my nature. Chaznitsch was an extremely gentle person. Chaznitsch was someone who was extremely, extremely gentle and very hesitant to speak sharply. It was not Chaznitsch at all. And he says, you know, I'm forcing myself to write these things because I have no choice. There's nothing else. What else can I tell you? Vani kairi levecha, and I call out to you, chazor b'cha ben adam, chazor b'cha ben adam. This is a piyut that we say on Tzom Gedalia, at the end, after the slichas, a beautiful. Chazor b'cha ben adam, chazor b'cha. Go back, come back. Chazor b'cha ben adam. Ki mocha tischar et Hashem tischachek. Tomorrow you're going to regret the playing around, the fooling around today. V'yimei hanurim chishavoru. And the young years fly by. V'ha'olam kiyam zoef. And life is a turbulent storm. V'zekol priachayim. And the tachlis of life is aneg alamala Torah, to enjoy the working and learning. Amal shesnis ha'netzach. It's a type of work that pays off dividends eternally. V'ini mechaket shvosam otcha ador shlemcha avam shayim. And I'm waiting for you to respond to me. Very, very, very powerful. Okay. Tess. Ritzayni b'zelavak keshcha l'deinim shem chatoiv. I want to hear how well you're doing. K'muvan ein tov l'toira. And obviously, the good that I'm talking about, what I want to know is, how well are you learning? Yesh b'chines harbi b'chesh harim b'tavai sov. A person has many taivas. Ki dvarim arevim. Margish neskufa adam v'tzva evarav lehano meduma, because things that are pleasant excite the body to a pleasure that is only meduma umesamchin b'midos yezes nafshe. A person enjoys it. A person is happy. So lemashal, a person has some sort of physical pleasure. It excites the person, arouses the person, and you know, and he gets some pleasure out of it. But this pleasure does not have the ability to compete with the refined pleasure of working and studying. So let's just stop a minute and talk about this. Where is the makom of nisayon? Where's the makom of avodah? Where's that turning point, that axis? So let's understand the function of a person. A person is motivated by pleasure. No two ways about it. By all counts, what motivates a person is things that he enjoys and does. So the thing is, he can do it. He can put himself on autopilot. So when a person is at a buffet, and he reaches out to take something, it's whatever kindles the largest amount of pleasure, he'll reach out and grab. So the type of automatic response. You'll pardon me. A woman walks by in the street. Everybody's eyes follow her. Those are a person's response to pleasure. Is a automatic thing, and avodas Hashem is not different. Ostis anigal Hashem, and so on. Oneg, pleasure was meant to be the central nekuda of a person. That's the emes. Where does the person come in? Where does koach habchira come in? So let's go back to the buffet. A person standing by a big buffet table, and the stuff is laden there. You know, it's just that. And instinctively reaches out to grab a big slice of something. Now the seichel can say the following. 1 minute. Let's try to analyze it. You will enjoy this piece of pie for about 2 minutes. You're going to put on another 25 pounds by the end of the year. And you'll be walking around huffing, puffing, feeling not well, schlepping along, and there will be a lot of pain associated with it. Forget about disease or whatever it is. So don't you want more pleasure? Wouldn't it be more pleasurable to eat something less alluring, but in the long run, so instead of enjoying 2 minutes now, 2 minutes tomorrow, and then suffering day in, day out, schlepping around a big stomach and the high blood pressure in the face and whatever it is, you could have less pleasure now and have a lot more pleasure as you go along. So the seichel is not there. The seichel is not there to deny pleasure, because we're not supposed to deny pleasure. We're supposed to, the world is lis'anig al Hashem, lis'anig. That's the, in Kabbalah, that's the most pneumistic in the Kuddah is tainu. The seichel is there to sort of help us make sense of what is pleasure, what's not pleasure. A person walks by a restaurant, and it's the closest one by him. It's a cheap takeout place. For $5, he has a Big Mac something or other. And he's out to get something. Says to him, wait until it's another, you walk another half a mile, there's a nice place, has much more refined food, much more delicate pleasure. So seichel acts to help us make intelligent decisions about the pleasure. A person is in high school. Let's forget about the yeshiva part of it. A person is in high school, and it's right now more pleasant to sit downstairs and hang out than it is to study for the math test. So seichel tells a person, yes, it's now more pleasant. But let's weigh that pleasantness, and then the rest of your life, basically being stuck to being a pizza delivery boy, and the amount of money you make and how much work you have to do, and your role in society, versus being respectable and a doctor and the income and so on and so forth. So seichel is instrumental in helping a person arrange his tainug in a meaningful way. Let's go back to the thing he's talking about. If we were to see that people who sit and learn, who are really into learning, who are suffering type of people, so you know what? I don't know. So yes, maybe I could promise you a lot of Olam Haba, but you know, Olam Haba is very, very far away, hopefully. And you know, it's something that really doesn't mean anything. But if we see people that are sitting and learning seem to thrive on it, people got into it really, really get out of it. So I'm saying to myself, you know, it's a whole different type of enjoyment. It strikes at a much deeper. When a person finishes doing nothing, it leaves a very bad aftertaste in his mouth. Even if he hung out this and that, without, the person feels just wasted away my time. When a person finishes learning, not only once a person learns how to, once a person enjoys learning, there's also a very good feeling having done that. That feeling increases. I learned this myself, I learned it well, I know it, so on and so forth. So when a person, and it is hard to make the transition from not learning to learning. It's hard. It's hard in the general picture, somebody who's not learning for somebody who's learning, and it's hard every morning. When you get up in the morning, the easiest pleasure is staying in bed. It takes acceleration to pick yourself up and get into base midrash and sit down by Gemara. And the first few minutes of getting into it takes. But once a person into it, it tends to become more and more pleasurable. And as time goes on, it's more and more pleasurable. And then in the afterthought, you know, I really put in a good week learning. It's also, if a person thinks about it that way, then a person is not counteracting. We think the Yitzhara is trying to give us pleasure. And the Yitzhara, he's telling us the right thing, but the right thing is always equivalent to no pleasure. Right, you know, the things that are right never seem to be a pleasure. What he's telling us here, and what it's true is, it's not like that. It takes an effort to get there, but the pleasure is a much finer pleasure, lasts much longer, and in afterwards, looking back, it certainly is something which gives a person a lot more in the afterwards. So he says, "Avo hanozu ein bekerchel eschas the hanor of hacking around doesn't hold a candle to the extraordinary pleasure of amala chachma." Asher nishmas ha'odam yisrael memnes malabayis ha'olam. The person's neshama lifts up above the tumult of the world. At shmei ha'shamayim. When a person's misaning on Torah, his neshama lifts up. V'nene miziv ha'chachma yoyna. And he enjoys chachma that's beyond. He has some kesher kadosh baruch hu. And this is the greatest good HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person, that even when I'm this world, I can begin to have an otherworldly hanoch. And I'm asking you, How much have you begun to understand the suffering of people? Because at the end of the day, people don't have anything. A person has the ability to glimpse at the Orav HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to indulge in this extraordinary chachma that fills a person with happiness. There are other things besides this hanoah of learning, a few other points. To put in firm foundations in the heart. To recognize in a very real way. A person was created. Someone created a person, and someone told him what to do. And the mitzvahs give him a handle on eternity. To be in the shadow of Chachma and to be close to the one who loves her. A person needs to be mishtadel and be mekayim every mitzvah with all the stikdukim. The Chazish very, very strongly held that doing mitzvahs with dikduk is really what gets a person motivated. This was one of his disagreements with the Muslim movement. The Muslim movement felt that putting a lot of effort into talking about how important it is to do witness is the best way to motivate you. That's Muslim, Muslim Shmuz, and so on. The Chaznish said, Tiktuk HaMitzvahs will do it for you. Tiktuk means doing mitzvahs carefully, exactly as you're supposed to do. That a person asks himself, how do you do the Tulsa Dayim, exact halachas? Every time you do the Tulsa Dayim, I'm makbir, it should be dry, the water should go up to here, I should push it afterwards. The Chazish held that's the Torah's chinuch to make a person a kli for chacham. This was a disagreement of his with others, but I can find this is what he's referring to in the very, very end. Moshe, in the next letter, he's going to give more Musa about learning, and he's going to speak to him about how to make tzitzis and be careful with tzitzis. Chazish held very strongly that Bikur HaMitzvahs is the way to bring a person to do the right things. Okay.
You recorded last week? I recorded.